From the time I was a young boy growing up in the village of Glenmar, we were always involved in growing things. We had a truck patch that was probably an acre and a quarter there that we grew everything from corn, string beans, lima beans, red kidney beans, potatoes, and yes, some onions, and things like that. We were among the Christmas trees that were there in the Christmas tree farm. And one of the things I learned during that time of my life was the fact that you reap what you sow. Not in the sense that you can just go out and put stuff in the ground and walk away and then go back and boom, there it is. You can take off of it and you've reaped what you've sown, because it doesn't work that way. What happens, not only do you have to sow it, you have to keep maintaining it and keep doing good to it to produce a bountiful harvest. The farmers know this principle. They spray their fields to keep the weeds down. They spray them to keep the pests away and things like that. This was especially true growing Christmas trees, which some took 15 years to grow from the small sizes that we planted them. It would take maintaining, it would take spraying, constant care, and it was something that I had to struggle with, that I would not become weary in doing what they needed for their good, for their benefit, knowing that down the road there was going to be a harvest. That was the goal, that was the motivation for what we did. And the Bible teaches an awful lot about this principle of sowing and reaping. From cover to cover, the Bible teaches us that a man or a person reaps what they sow. Throughout the Bible, the principle's there. Sometimes it's a little more underlying than others. And it's not the same as you get what you deserve. It's not what the Bible talks about. It's not the same as this karma thing that kids are learning about, teaching and talking about today. You know, where you're chasing your sister down the hallway, and as you're chasing her, she's screaming and she runs into her room. You trip and fall and she turns around and laughs and says, "Ha ha, karma." In other words, you got what was coming to you, right? It's not the same thing in the Bible, that a man or a person reaps what they sow. When Paul talked about this to the Galatians, and Paul taught this principle throughout the New Testament, because it is a very important principle to keep in mind. When he taught this to the Galatians, or spoke about this in the sixth chapter here, he was speaking in the context of how Christians live their lives. Okay? How they live their lives. And probably this text that we read this morning should have been flip-flopped. If I would have been writing a paper for college, I would have flip-flopped this in the way I would have written it. But Paul, being a scholarly man, wrote it in this way. First of all, speaking about this principle, but then getting to the therefore. If I would have been writing it, I probably would have written it in reverse. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers, because God will not be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. In other words, I would have given the good part, or the command to let us do good, and then the reason because, sort of a thesis, and the reasons why. But what Paul says here in the beginning is, do not be deceived, because God cannot be mocked. Now, he's giving this in regards to what he had said earlier in chapter 5. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in the single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. That's how he kind of sets this up. And he goes on to talk about living by the Spirit and living by the flesh. And he comes to this part where he says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Now, what was going on at this time is there were a lot of super apostles following Paul everywhere he went, discrediting not only what Paul was teaching, but discrediting Paul himself. And they were talking about doing the good works for the Lord, for the glory of the kingdom, and to help others. A lot of people in this day and age think that they have this principle down. They think, I've sowed the good seed, I'm a pretty good person, I've accepted Jesus, I'll just sit here in my pew and take my place, and I'm waiting for Jesus to was being taught in Paul's day was that the people were free now in Christ. They didn't have to do anything else. They didn't have to obey the law. They didn't have to serve others. And Paul was saying this isn't true. Don't be deceived. And he warns them, first of all, to me he should have said, therefore, as we have every opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And the reason he would have said that we are to do good in every opportunity is because we shouldn't be deceived. God won't be mocked. We won't walk away from it and laugh and say, yeah, ha ha, ha ha, God, I'm still going to be blessed. Ha ha, God. God can't be laughed at, you know. And what he's saying is, don't be deceived. Don't think you're going to receive all this blessing without having to be obedient to God. And he brings this principle up. A man sows, or a man reaps what he sows. He reaps what he sows. So don't think you're going to reap more than you sow. And he goes on to share a little bit about this. But first of all, I want you to understand in the terms of reaping in the Bible that this word in the Greek implied just simply to harvest, to take in the sense of a crop. Webster's dictionary describes reaping in one way as to gain as a reward for an action. In other words, you do the action of sowing the seeds and you gain in the end when you harvest the crops, okay, or you take them in. Sowing, on the other hand, in the Greek, implied this idea of extending in order to scatter. Extending in order to scatter something. So we start to get the idea that when we extend our lives toward others to scatter God's goodness all over, there's going to be a great blessing, not only for those people, but for us. And I can't tell you, once you live this out, how much more fully you understand this. And you see that God's blessings abound when we're obedient and when we serve others. What starts out as hard work becomes a blast. It becomes so much fun that it's almost hilarious how much fun. And then all of a sudden you start to think, well, gosh, why are we doing this? Are we doing this to have fun or are we doing it for others? But you see, God blesses when we sow to the Spirit. When we do something in order to receive an end result which someone benefits from. In verse 8, he says that the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. Now, in some translations, it's the one who sows to please his flesh or his fleshly desires. Okay? From that nature, from the flesh, from his fleshly desires, he's going to reap destruction. The King James Version uses the word corruption, which in the Greek means ruin. In other words, he's saying the one who sows please themselves, they're only going to receive or reap ruin from it. But to the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Rather than sowing to please personal desires, this person sows to please God Himself. And from God, through His Spirit, he's going to reap from the Spirit, gather from the Spirit, life from the Spirit. Paul taught this principle previously in Romans. He said to the Roman believers, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. In other words, in your previous state, when you were slaves to sin before you accepted Christ, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you're now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now, speaking of after they receive Christ, you were set free from sin and you have become slaves to God, and the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin the harvest of sin is death, but the gift of God, the harvest of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This wasn't a new concept in Paul's day, nor is it in our day today. Thousands of years earlier in the book of Job, Job's friend Eliphaz came and replied to Job. Remember, Job's state, he was troubled. Okay, he was troubled, Job was, because he had lost everything and he couldn't figure out why God would allow this to happen. This man says, consider now, who being innocent has ever perished? What he's saying is, I want you to think about this. When has anyone that was innocent ever perished? Where were the upright ever destroyed? I've observed those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. At the breath of God, they're destroyed. At the blast of His anger, they perish. Later on in Hosea, when Hosea was trying to warn the people about their destruction because they had turned away from God and they were engaged in idolatry, Israel has rejected what is good. They set up kings without my consent. They choose princes without my approval. With their silver and gold, they make idols for themselves to their own destruction. This calf a craftsman has made, it is not God. It will be broken in pieces. Those people, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no head and it will produce no flower. In other words, turning from God and being disobedient to God leads to destruction, unproductiveness, unfruitfulness. And Paul here is highlighting the motive for one's action. The one who sows. The one who sows to please the sinful nature. What's the sinful nature? He just got done talking about it in chapter 5. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And I want to say ouch before I read them. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies and the like. Ouch. We look at our world today. Look at our world today. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Plain and simple. There it is. Plain and simple. A man reaps what he sows. However, the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And when you sow to please the Spirit, you're going to receive fruit of the Spirit, right? The manifestation. When you sow the seed, you receive the fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit, when you're sowing or living to please the Spirit, obedient to God, here's what you're going to get. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's what you're going to get. Against such things there's no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit and not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And this was the problem. People had become conceited. And they were provoking others by trying to get them to do things that weren't really obedient to God. And Paul said, let us not become weary in doing good because of the bigger picture. Have you ever become weary because you do all these good things and you just don't seem to get anything out of it, nor does it seem like it's making any difference? That isn't up to us. The thing we need to do is stay focused heavenward, like I had to do with the Christmas trees, knowing that there was going to be a harvest. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So as we have every opportunity, let's do good to all people. Let's not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Let's do good to all people. And in that day, there was all this pride going on that we're only going to reach out to certain people because they're only worthy of it. And sometimes we fall into that category. Well, I'm not going to go there. I can't go there. You don't know those people. You don't want to know those people, I've been told. But God knows them. He knows their heart. He created them, and He wants us to go to them and do good to all people, knowing that at the proper time, not only will they reap the harvest, but so will we. You see, He's not teaching the principle here. He's using the principle as our motive for doing what we do, for living the way that we live, to please the Spirit so that there is a bountiful harvest. Why would we want to sow rotten seeds or seeds that we know won't sprout? We're only wasting our time, and none of us wants to waste our time. We know if we live to the Spirit, to please the Spirit, we will reap a harvest. In doing good, that's not sitting around and waiting for good to come. Nobody sits around and watches their garden. Well, I think I'll just sit here in the backyard and wait for the harvest to come. They get at it. They get at the work. They cultivate it. They water it. They fertilize it. They do all they can to get the greatest harvest. And knowing that the harvest will come, doing good continuously. I chose this text for Thanksgiving weekend, so that we might all be mindful of that this week, that in God's goodness, He looked down on all of us when He sent Jesus Christ our Lord. We have so much to be thankful for, especially in Jesus and in God's gracious presence in our lives. Remember, I keep saying, keep coming back to this, if I'm going down the path, if I fall down, thank You, Lord, that I didn't break my arm. If I break my arm, thank You, Lord, that I didn't break my neck. If I break my neck, thank You, Lord, that I didn't die. And if I died, thank You, Lord, that You did not allow me to go to hell for eternity. You see, that's the kind of attitude we live with. And knowing that as God has done good to all of us in every opportunity and does good to every one of us in every opportunity, we should take every opportunity to do good to all people, and especially the family of believers. And when we do that, man, the fields are going to be full. Our lives will be so full of blessing. It'll be hilarious what we see God do. Right here is a great example. Time spent. Our dip suppers. Time spent. It's hard work. But man, do we have fun doing it, don't we? And that's what makes God's people who they are, the church. Consistently, committedly, about God's work, not becoming weary of doing good to all people. Because, as Paul reminds us, remember, a man reaps, a person reaps what they sow. Let's pray. Dear God, we are thankful for Your word that teaches us truths to live by. And though it is hard to live by them sometimes because we are not Your son Jesus, we're not perfect, as we live our lives and grow in faith and grow in grace, we know You love us and we know You want the best for us. Lord, help us to see Your blessings day by day, to count our blessings, and to always share and be good to all people, always. That we might know that we will reap a harvest in doing so. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.